Good morning. It is time to get up with Carson Wentz. The day after the deal. Is there any player in the sport under more pressure this year? Plus, the one sure thing in the draft suddenly doesn't seem so sure. Is it possible Trevor Lawrence isn't the best prospect? One voice says yes. You'll hear that voice. And LeBron's Lakers in a late night showdown with his arch rivals. We've got it covered for you as we get up with you, starting right now on another Football Friday. We don't need games. We got all the news in the world. Greeny here in New York and delighted you've chosen to get up with us, and the football crew is ready to talk it. Ryan Clark is revved up and ready to go. Graziano's got the insight. Ninko is ready, and a special guest will join us in a moment as well. With the big news, of course, today, the Eagles agreeing to trade quarterback Carson Wentz to the Colts for a 2021 third-round pick and a conditional two the following year that could turn into a one. Here's Adam Schefter on how it went down.
The Eagles were waiting to see if there was another team that was going to step in and make a better offer than the one the Colts had on the table. And ultimately, it never really happened. There was not a lot of interest in Carson Wentz around the league. Yeah, the Eagles did talk to the Bears. The Bears never made an offer. And so the Eagles were there, left to face the Colts and what they were offering.
I want to bring the crew in here. That whole thing is so fascinating to me. Graziano, let's sort of fill it in. In the end, Wentz gets exactly what I think we all think he wanted. How did it turn out this way?
Well, like Adam said, look, the Eagles are trying to engage as many teams as possible to get the price up. The Colts had interest because of the connection between Carson Wentz and Frank Reich, the former Eagles offensive coordinator, now the Colts head coach. And I think it was pretty clear behind the scenes that that's what Wentz wanted. So if the Bears had that sense, then it wouldn't have made much sense for them to make a big offer. So I think they kind of looked into it, but then decided at the end they weren't going to get into some kind of bidding war with the Colts. And the Eagles got to a point. Yeah, they could have taken this all the way to March 20th when his roster bonus is due. They got to a point where they felt like the offers weren't going to improve. This is where he wanted to be. Let's just make the clean break and be done with it and start over at the quarterback position.
So, Ryan Clark, now that we've had a chance to sleep on the trade, what is the most important thought in your mind this morning?
That we were all right. We were all right. We told y'all, Carson Wentz wasn't that dang good. And the Philadelphia Eagles found out about that. You know how they found out? They went to an auction, and there was only one participant that was in the Carson Wentz auction, and that was the Indianapolis Colts. Now, with that said, if you're Carson Wentz, that's the bad news. But if you're Carson Wentz, the good news is you go to the place that you want to go. You have a good defense. You have a good running game. You have an excellent offensive line. And you have some young skill players on the outside. This is his time to show and prove. If Carson Wentz can't win here, if Carson Wentz can't be great here, he can't be great anywhere. And Frank Reich is betting that he can be great.
Yes, I agree with that completely. And so, Ninko, we come to you. Do you feel like it is Super Bowl or bust for the Colts this year now that they've got their quarterback in place?
Yeah, of course, because when the head coach stands on the table for a quarterback to come in, that's not cheap. I mean, you look at the contract of Wentz, it's not a cheap contract. So you would think that Frank Reich's future basically as the head coach is going to hinge on the success of what Wentz can do. Can he get back to that 2017 form that we all saw? I mean, you look at the last couple years, having the injury after the ACL, he seemed to never really be that guy that was mobile out of the pocket running for first downs. And then he had the back injury. So he has dealt with injuries. So now he goes to the Colts with, you know, the supposedly a better offensive line, but actually in pass protection, the Colts were 11th overall. And actually the Colts were 12th and the Eagles were 11th. So he's going to a place where the pass protection is going to be similar. So it's going to come down to the head coach to see if he can maximize his potential.
Okay, so we will be talking about this all morning with this collection. But I would like to now bring in a very special guest. If you watch this show, you know that when we think of Carson Wentz, we think of Dan Orlovsky, who is taking time away from his family vacation at Disney World. As we speak, his kids are at Epcot riding Soarin', but Dan decided to come spend a few minutes with us to talk about this. So we appreciate this much, Danny. Everyone, look, you've talked about him a million times on the show. It has finally happened. What is the number one overriding thought in your mind?
That Carson Wentz will play MVP type of football again in Indianapolis. You know, I look at the Colts as definitely a Super Bowl contender next year. I don't think they have to win it next year. He's under contract for the next 4 years, but they're one of the top four teams in the AFC with Kansas City, Buffalo, and Cleveland now. And the reality for Carson Wentz is, because everyone talks about the confidence, right? What's the confidence with Frank Reich? You guys know this, RC, Ninko, you guys know this. Like, confidence gets instilled in you from coaches, right? And then, like, you just have to accept that. Then you start to believe it yourself, and it's like that everyday repetition. And we often talk fit in the NFL, Greeny, and we just look at it for the scheme. We have to understand that fit often starts with people and the people that you're going to be fitting in with. Now that he's in Indy with Press Taylor and with Frank Reich, I think we're going to look at a 2017 version of Carson Wentz again. And that's the thing that I would say about the football team with the Colts in 2021. They're going to look a lot like that 2017 Eagles team did. Top five offensive line and run game. They don't have a superstar on the outside. They just got five really good pieces and a top 10 defense. The Colts are going to be a big problem next year, and Carson Wentz, mark my words, will play really good football.
I just heard a sigh.
Man, you see?
And go ahead, RC.
You see, that's what happened. Dan been down there riding the Tower of Terror. He been on the rocking roller coasters. He been eating the Rice Krispie treats with the colored ears, and he's just all fluffy in Disney World now. But that's not how it works. He doesn't, and the great part is, he actually doesn't have to play MVP caliber football. See, what you hope exactly. If you're the Indianapolis Colts, which they've hoped since Andrew Luck had left this team and retired, was, you know what? We just need a quarterback to do the right thing. So if you're the coach, you're saying, we got all of this stuff, all of these things Carson Wentz, he wanted. Now we can elevate the lows. We won't get the super lows of Carson Wentz.
Exactly.
But if Carson Wentz reaches the Carson Wentz highs, he now elevates the team. And so that's going to be the game of double dutch that the Indianapolis Colts and Carson Wentz are going to play. We're going to hope that you don't have to do the stupid things you used to do, because you won't be playing hero ball. Yeah. And then every now and then we get some 2017, some number two overall draft pick play for you from you. And if we do that, then we become a contender.
Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point by RC. And this is why I'm confident in the situation, because, you know, Hembo and I spoke yesterday. Carson Wentz threw 9 interceptions in the second half of football games last year. 8 of them were when they were trailing. 8 of them were like, okay, our team is down. I'm trying to do something. We're not playing good football. I've tried to get people over the last 2 years to understand that 30 years ago, the quarterback position was, hey, carry everybody. Like, you got to make everybody around you better. And because of the way the rules have changed, spacing, how much smarter coaches are, it's really a position that the people around you make you better than you really are. We see that all the time in the NFL. And what happened in Philly was the people around him slowly started to lose the support with the ability to play well. In Indy, that's not going to be the case. In Indy, he's got a coach that goes, I know exactly what you do well. I know exactly what you don't like. I know how to coach you. I know how to connect with you. Don't forget for 1 second, or think for 1 second, that the connection between the coach and the quarterback isn't a huge deal here. If they get Carson Wentz of 2018 and 2019, this is a home run deal for the Colts.
So, Dan, I feel like so much of this is about mindset, and we've talked a ton about this. And the so if he's watching now, or if you were to have a chance to talk to him at some point before he shows up there, what would you tell him he needs to be thinking about after everything that has happened? He needs a blank slate and a fresh start. What does he need to be thinking about?
Why was being yourself not good enough in Philly as a leader? Why was being yourself not good enough? Because you can't just go into a new locker room and think, I'm just going to be me, because maybe you wasn't good enough in that role. So if I was his coach going into Indy, I'd sit down and go, all right, so what happened last year? And tell me what you learned from last year when it came to owning our locker room, running our football team, being one of 11, but being the guy. Like, I've always said this about Peyton Manning and Matthew Stafford. Those guys knew that they were the guy, but they had this great ability to be one of a guy and one of 53. So what do we learn from last year? And let's figure out the bad that it happened and your role in it, and then we're washing it clean. It is part of our past. And then I'm going to sit down and watch 2017 and 2018 and 2019 and going, this is the guy we traded for. This is the player that we traded for. Right. And I need you to understand that that's the guy that I believe in. That's the guy that me, Frank Reich, and me, Chris Ballard, the general manager, we're going to put our neck on the line because we believe in this player. So I'm going to learn from what happened last year. We're going to wash it clean. And we're moving forward, instilling that confidence in you that you are that guy from that three-year stretch. And that's the guy that we're going to bring in to run our organization.
So if I want to look at this from both sides of it. Rob Ninkovich, you said a moment ago that all the pressure now is on Frank Reich. Do you believe, as currently constituted, the Colts are a Super Bowl contending team in the AFC right now, Ninko?
No, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contending team right now. And just like anything, excuse me, when you come into a new team in a new locker room, you have to earn the respect of everyone in that locker room. And when you come with a big price tag, you almost have to go out and outperform everybody and show them why you are so valuable to the organization. So he's going to have to come into a new city. He's going to have to just put his head down and get to work and impress everybody that, look, I can do this. I did it in the past. But in the NFL, you have to show me the now. It's not 2-3 years ago. He has to come in there and he has to help change that organization to get back to where they wanted to be. And that was with Peyton Manning, who was one of the best to ever do it. So, yeah, I just think that the pressure is on the head coach, yes, to maximize his potential. But Wentz is also coming into a situation where all the eyes are going to be on him to get that team to be better than where Rivers just left that team. So, you know, for me, I think that this year they're not a Super Bowl contending team. I even think the Titans might be the best in the division. They're not even the best in the division right now.
I'm reading the look on your face. Go ahead, Orlovsky.
I mean, it's the team that pushed the Bills to the brink. I mean, they had the Bills on the ropes last year before a bad two-minute drill. This is a football team that is – and the fact that they made this trade and they have their number one and number two this year. So if you're taking – if you're the person like me who's bringing in Carson Wentz, we have the ability to add three big-time playmakers to our football team this year, a team that was – really good last year, that 11 wins last year and pushed the Buffalo Bills to the brink. I totally disagree that they're not a Super Bowl contending football team. They 100% are. They've got the general manager, the head coach, the quarterback, the offensive line, the run game, the necessary level of skill players, and a top 10 defense. They've got a couple free agents they're going to sign because they have the salary cap freedom, especially with the Wentz contract that's not bad. But this is a Super Bowl contending football team, and that's their mindset, and it should be.
They have an elite general manager. Of that, there's no question, and that's a good point. He leaves them or has them in a very good place. Quickly, though, because I only have Orlovsky for a few minutes. Graziano, what is the plan in Philadelphia now? Jalen Hurts, at this point, is it his team? Do they make a move for a quarterback? What is the quarterback plan in Philadelphia with Wentz now in Indy?
Well, Greeny, they'll have to add a quarterback because Hurts is the only one they have right now. Will they go get a veteran backup for Hurts? Potentially. But look, the Eagles are sitting there at number 6 in the draft. The Eagles, with the quarterback position, they put an incredibly high value on this. If there is a guy sitting there in the draft that they think is a franchise caliber quarterback, they will not pass on that guy just because they think it's Jalen Hurts' turn or he deserves a fair shot. They will maximize their chances for success at that position. That's their history. That's their way. And I could absolutely see the Eagles either picking or making a move to pick a quarterback at or near the top of this year's draft.
Okay, and again, I'm going to lose Orlovsky in a few minutes, and so I just want to go back to you on that, Dan, quickly. Your wife is from Philadelphia. Right now, she is on the line at Space Mountain, so she's yelling at me to get you over there as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
But what do you think? If you're in Philly right now, you're Nick Sirianni. Are you handing the ball to Jalen Hurts and feeling good? This is my football team this year?
No. While Jalen last year showed some traits that you're like, okay, this is an intriguing player, you can't go into this season going, okay, he's just the guy. You've just felt like you've made the mistake of empowering a young player in Carson Wentz with too much. Don't do that as well. At the same time, you're picking 6th in this draft. Don't take a quarterback just because you're picking 6th. If there's not a guy that
exactly.
you don't absolutely love, you just take the best player available and give Jalen a year. This is not a football team that is going to win this year in Philadelphia. They are not built to win now. So if you love a guy, take him. If not, get a really good football player and go, Jalen, you got a year to prove to us that you can be the guy and move forward. But I do believe that Philly will regret moving on from Carson Wentz.
Okay, well, I will leave it there for the moment. RC and Ink, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about this for the next 2 hours. But for those of you who are watching us this morning in Disney World, you will see the Orlovsky family on the teacups coming up shortly here. Dan Orlovsky, thank you seriously for taking a few minutes on your vacation.
All day.
Okay.
Thanks, fair. Guys.
Well, you got
love
the
you.
Little kids. We'll see. All right. Well done. Dan Orlovsky, thank you. So much more on that trade as we go. But hold on. We had an NBA Finals preview last night. And we got LeBron James, pardon me, and the Lakers taking on Harden and Kyrie and the Nets. No AD, no KD. But the stars were out, particularly for Brooklyn. Kyrie and Harden getting it done. There's Kyrie in the mid-range. There's Harden from way downtown. They would also be finding their teammates. Kyrie and James Harden scoring or assisting on 55 points in the first half last night. Harden with the floater. The Nets up 7 after 1. They were up 11 at the half. Third quarter now. The Lakers down 14. LeBron trying to keep them in it. Somebody want to guard this guy? All right, that's LeBron with the tomahawk. 32 points for him, but that was as good as it was going to get. 4 minutes to go in the third. 15-point game. Oh, the Red Sea parts for James Harden. He would score 23. The Nets up 17. Fourth quarter, more from the Nets. Kyrie knocking this one down. He would score 16 points. The Nets are now 10-1 against winning teams this year. They win this one easily. All right, stars, let's talk.
You know, you don't look at too many games during the season when you have a measuring stick, but also when you do, you want to be full, you know, and they weren't full as well. So you don't really know how to go about that. But, you know, you can always find ways to get better no matter who's in the lineup.
We'll see them down the line again, and we look forward to it with a whole entire healthy Lakers team. That's what we really wanted. I know everybody wants that. And so I'm looking forward to the challenge and seeing them down the line.
Well, he's right. By everyone wants it, he means all of the fans and me and Tim Legler, who was up with us early this morning. Thanks for getting up, Timmy. I want to look at this from both sides. Let's start with the Lakers. I mean, LeBron is trying his best to carry this team sort of in an MVP campaign. Anthony Davis reevaluated. He's now out at least another 4 weeks. The question is simple. Are the Lakers in trouble?
No, I don't think they're in trouble at all because, look, this is the deepest team in the NBA. This is why you go out and you add Harrell, you add Schroeder. It's to get through times like this. So when you get Dennis Schroeder back, even though you're not going to have AD for 4 weeks, this is a team that doesn't really care where they finish in terms of the Western Conference standings. Doesn't matter to them if the Clippers or Jazz end up with more wins at the end of the day. This is a team that knows if they're whole, they're the best team in the Western Conference. And I don't think it's really close. I think they're on a level completely to themselves. So I wouldn't worry about it too much not having AD. I think the key is getting him back and keeping him back, because I think this is a concern right now. When you look at a guy that had an injury, missed some time, came back and said he felt great before the game, plays 14 minutes and goes out, and it's worse than it was before. That is a major concern, and that's why they're going to exercise on the side of caution right now. Sit him down as long as you need, Greeny, whether it's 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I don't think it really matters. If Anthony Davis comes back and he stays back and he's healthy, there's a reason that we had the Lakers in a special place before he got hurt. They're going to be right back there if he gets any sort of run at all before the postseason. So the Lakers, to me, clearly the cream of the crop in the West. I wouldn't care too much or worry too much about the regular season record.
All right, so that's fair. And then on the other side, what place do we have Brooklyn? They do it last night without Durant. Harden is fitting in. I mentioned they're 10-1 against winning teams. Are they the favorites to win the championship?
If you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said no, because they still had a lot of things in terms of their flow I didn't like offensively. I didn't think they included enough of their roster offensively. They had great shot making, maybe the greatest collection of just raw offensive talent at the top of any roster in NBA history with those three guys. But that wasn't going to be good enough, particularly with their defensive issues. Well, that was 2 weeks ago. You look at them now, a couple things have jumped out to me. First, this West Coast trip, in the last four games, they just made 81 threes and they shot 49% in doing it. Okay, so they're starting to move the ball, make the extra pass. Their role players now very comfortable when the ball is coming to them. They're more prepared. And if those guys shoot the ball at this kind of rate, nobody can deal with this team. So that's the first thing offensively. And they seem to have ironed out, you know, who's going to be alpha. They seem to be working through that. It's James Harden's show for the most part. Kyrie just go be a raw scorer. And Kevin Durant's going to get his whenever he wants to. So the question is going to be, how do they close games? Defensively, I've seen much greater effort. They just seem to care more. They're helping each other more. They're more active on that end of the floor. So when they play with that kind of effort on the defensive end of the floor, you can't tell me any of these teams in the East can match up with the Brooklyn Nets. And maybe nobody in the league. But I won't be able to make that assessment in terms of the Lakers until I see them play them with Anthony Davis. It's that, so he's that big of a difference maker on both ends. I need to see these teams at full strength. That's why last night was frustrating for an analyst like myself. I'm using it as a barometer, and there's too many guys not there. But clearly, the Brooklyn Nets have something special going on right now that nobody in the East can really deal with, even the Bucks at full strength with Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, no KD, no AD. Hard to take too much out of that game, but another impressive win for Brooklyn. Legs, thanks a million for getting up early. We'll check back with you a little bit later. We're just getting rolling today. Coming up, Philly moving on from Carson. We'll tell you why that only leads to more questions for the Eagles. We're heading there. Then, since the moment he stepped on the field, Trevor Lawrence has been the consensus number one pick. But what if some teams actually prefer a different quarterback? That conversation on the way. Get up, ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up, and here we go. Little kid, big fish, mayhem ensues. Let's watch. Oh, see, the young man is named Kamari Cooper. What do you think of the celebration?
This is a live look in at Jalen Hurts' house yesterday after the Carson Wentz trade. Let's go, Mom. Hey, listen, I don't catch fish. I don't go fishing. But I have to know that. I have to feel that. That is a great feeling when you pull the bigger one in. I see you, Kamari.
That is very, very well played. Okay, as we continue, speaking of Jalen Hurts, the Eagles are moving on from Wentz. Does it mean this is now Jalen's team? We'll go fishing for that answer in just a moment. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
This is squarely on the owner's shoulders. They ruined the kid. They put a statue of Nick Foles on the concourse. You didn't support the kid at all.
I believe that's a horrible trade. I believe that, you know, we did break him.
I completely agree. They broke him. The venom that has been infecting the organization is still there. I still don't trust Howie Roseman to fix it.
Some of the Philly fans yesterday on our radio station in Philadelphia after Carson Wentz got traded. So let's go through the history here. Wentz got drafted second overall in 2016. That's a pick the Eagles traded for the Browns to get. They gave up 5 picks, including a couple of first rounders. Now, the Eagles have made the playoffs 3 times, but never won a playoff game with Wentz as their starting quarterback. Nick Foles actually started 5 of the 6 playoff games. And then yesterday, of course, the Eagles trading Wentz to Indianapolis. They get back less than half the picks they gave up to acquire him. They get a 3rd rounder this year and a conditional 2 in 2022. And so I have a million questions about this. And the guy who's got the answers is our Eagles reporter, Tim McManus, who joins us. And I guess the first place I want to start, Tim, is with the future of the quarterback position now in Philadelphia. This is not something they probably expected to have to address for a very long time. What's next now at that position in Philly?
Agreed. I think we should at least be bracing for the possibility of another quarterback controversy here in Philadelphia. Now, they like Jalen Hurts. He has advocates in the building, none bigger than owner Jeffrey Lurie. And one of the reasons they felt comfortable moving on from Wentz is because they had Hurts on the roster. That being said, we shouldn't be shocked if they explore heavily the possibility of looking at a quarterback at number 6 overall in April's draft. What do we know about this organization? They like to invest heavily at the quarterback position. They're feeling the weight of getting this pick right. They're going to be looking at quarterbacks and all the other positions to see who's the very best player. And if they feel that a QB gives them the best shot moving forward long term in what's going to be a rebuild, then it could be a QB. Whether it's Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, we should be bracing for the possibility of a quarterback here in Philly.
And how would you describe, so we'll look at that situation, and obviously that'll play itself out over the next couple of months. How would you describe the Eagles' internal reaction to what they wind up getting back in this deal? I just went through it. They traded so much away to get this guy. One of the picks they traded away turned into Deshaun Watson, and now this is what they get back, and they never win a playoff game. How do they wake up this morning after all this goes down?
Not thrilled. I mean, they recognize that the return they got versus what they invested in this quarterback does not match up. But the reality is that they were selling at a low point. You know, Carson Wentz was coming off the worst year of his career, one of the worst years of any quarterback in the NFL last year. He's due to make $47 million over the next two seasons, and he's got some questions about coachability that he needs to answer. And that was known throughout the league, and so the market was pretty warm. There was one team that was really hot after him because of the connection between Frank Reich and Wentz, and that was the Colts. And so I don't think that the Eagles wake up happy about this, but recognize that it was fair market value, all things considered.
All right, Tim McManus, thanks a million for getting up here. We appreciate it. Really well done. Let me bring my crew back in. And oh, by the way, did I mention, and it was on your screen there, next year the salary cap is expected to be about $185 million. For the Eagles, $34 million of that will be dead money that they're paying Carson Wentz not to play quarterback for them. So this couldn't have worked out worse for them. RC, I did not get to ask you as we opened the show this morning. What do you think of the situation now? Jalen Hurts, if you're making the decisions there, is he your quarterback?
You know, it's tough. And here's why it's tough. If you see a guy in this draft that you absolutely love, whether you think Zach Wilson can fall to you, whether you think you can make some moves up, or whether it's Justin Fields who is there at number 6, then I think you have to go with that guy. You have to be sure that that's your person, though, and that's who you want to move forward with your franchise, because you don't want another quarterback controversy. You don't want a coach that couldn't read his own written speech at his initial press conference to walk straight into a quarterback controversy. That's why Carson Wentz is gone now. And so this is going to be a very touchy situation for the Philadelphia Eagles and their organization. I think Jalen Hurts can be a good starter for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't necessarily know if he can be a good starter on every team. There are some specifics that you're going to need to have as a part of your plan for him. And so it's about evaluating Jalen Hurts and also evaluating the guys in the draft. And if you just love one, you have to take him. If not, you don't create another situation of a bad quarterback room or a tough quarterback room for this new head coach when you just got out of one in 2020.
Graziano, look, while the trade just happens yesterday, they've known for some time that Carson Wentz was no longer going to be their quarterback next year. So it's not like they're just waking up thinking about this today. What is your sense of the amount of confidence they as an organization have in Hurts going forward?
Yeah, I mean, look, McManus was on it, obviously. I mean, Hurts is a second-round pick from last year who showed some stuff when they put him in this season. But, you know, he didn't show, hey, we're all set. We don't have to worry about this for the rest of our lives. Like, there are still some questions about how he develops, how he'll play. Can he be the long-term starter? They viewed him as an NFL starting quarterback, or they would not have used the pick that they used to draft it. That said, they already had Carson Wentz under contract and expected him to be their starter. So even if they have confidence about Jalen Hurts, they will not pass on an opportunity to select a player that they think can be a starting quarterback, a franchise quarterback in the NFL. And if that means drafting him with your number 6 overall pick, the Eagles will absolutely do it. This is about the fact that you cannot foresee and predict the future, and you have to maximize your chances of getting that franchise quarterback. And they think Jalen Hurts can be that, but they also think Zach Wilson can be that. They have a chance to get him. They're not going to be scared of creating a quarterback controversy. They have to give themselves the best possible chance to get that position right.
So that's the team that Wentz leaves behind. Ninko, I want to ask you again about the team that he goes to. I'm going to do a question of the day on my radio show today asking, is there any player in the NFL under more pressure next year than Wentz? As you look at it, Ninko, how would you describe the pressure there is with everything that has happened here on Carson Wentz next season?
A tremendous amount of pressure. He's going to have a lot of pressure on him. He left Philadelphia. There was a lot of pressure on him to get back to the Super Bowl, which he didn't play in. And we all know the story with Foles and how that all unfolded. But now that he goes to Indianapolis, he's going to have every single person looking at him. Okay, now you're the man. Lead us to the promised lands here. Lead us to victory. So he's going into a location right now with a tough division. He's going to have to go out there. He's going to have to perform. And look, I mean, when you go into a new spot, a new team, a new city, you have to earn the respect of everybody in that city, and he's got to go out there and perform. He can't just rely on what he did in the past. So for me, yeah, I think he's probably got the most, if not the most, pressure on anyone in the NFL coming up in 2021.
Yeah, it's a conversation we'll continue. And, RC, I'll get your thoughts on that in a couple of minutes here. Right now I want to get up and go, though, because it was a busy day in sports and a busy night. Let's go through it. JT Realmuto begins it. His 2021 season with the Phillies off to a rocky start. Star catcher broke the thumb on his throwing hand, blocking a pitch last week. He says he's confident he'll be ready for the season opener on April 1st. We shall see. Women's college basketball, number 21 Tennessee, upsetting number 2 South Carolina yesterday, ending the Gamecocks' 31-game conference winning streak. It was the second longest streak in conference history. And then, if you were up early this morning, you might have watched Daniil Medvedev make his way to the Australian Open final, knocking out Stefanos Tsitsipas in straight sets, advancing to the finale where he will face Novak Djokovic. That is a rematch of the 2019 final in Melbourne, where Djokovic won in 4. And we will have the Australian Open Women's Championship match early Saturday morning, 3:30 a.m. Eastern Time. It will be the 22nd seeded Jennifer Brady in her first ever final, squaring off against the 3-seed Naomi Osaka, who knocked out Serena in the semis. Get up early and watch some great tennis on ESPN. Meanwhile, coming up, we all expect the Jaguars to take Trevor Lawrence with the number 1 pick, right? Well, there are some teams that may not if they had that choice. We'll show you exactly why next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and once again, our top story, Carson Wentz on his way to Indy. Jalen Hurts, the Eagles' new QB1, at least for now. However, the team does intend to bring in some competition for him. Hurts was the 53rd overall pick in last year's draft, started the last 4 games of the season after Wentz was benched. Our friend Torrey Smith, who was with us earlier this week and who played with the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl a few years ago, tweeted, "I'm excited for Jalen Hurts. He went through a lot in college and deserves the opportunity to be the guy. I hope they don't draft a quarterback in the first round. Let the young man grow." Well, let's pick up the thought right there as we welcome to the show, making his ESPN debut, our brand new NFL draft contributor, Matt Miller. You'll be seeing a ton of him with Mel and McShay all over our coverage right up through the NFL draft. So, Matt, welcome to the team, and let's put you right to work. Just a year ago, you were, analyzing and grading out Jalen Hurts. So as you see it, do you believe that the Eagles should be looking to draft a quarterback at six as they evaluate their quarterback situation?
You know, Greeny, I do think that looking at Jalen Hurts, where we saw him, remember at Alabama, Nick Saban was trying to tell him, maybe you should go play running back in the NFL. He transfers to Oklahoma. We see the development there into Lincoln Riley. Then he goes to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, and we're looking at this new kid with this new technique. And I think what we saw in the draft process, the development, but also what we saw last year, the development during those four games with the Philadelphia Eagles. No, the completion percentage wasn't great, but the plays were there. And let's remember, he jump-started this offense in a way that Carson Wentz could not do through the first 12 weeks of the season. So I look at Jalen Hurts. You drafted him at 53 overall. Let's give him a shot with the athleticism, the arm strength, and what we saw in college. I think you can still build on some of those traits. And so I look at the Eagles. If they call and want my opinion, stick with Jalen Hurts. You gave this kid an early second-round pick for a reason. And then let's build a team around him. You guys are showing some wide receivers here. Let's build a team around him with that sixth pick instead of, once again, quitting at the quarterback position and trying to roll the dice on another guy. And by the way, at six this year, you might be looking at the fourth best quarterback on the board.
Well, so that is exactly where we get to our next point here. Let's jump into this year's draft, which is where you'll be covering for us. And while all signs point to Trevor Lawrence as the first overall pick to Jacksonville and a generational prospect and all the rest of that, there has been a recent push for the young man you see on the right there, Zach Wilson from BYU. He played two more games than Lawrence did last year. He had fewer turnovers. He also had a higher completion percentage, averaged more yards per attempt. And so, again, Matt, this is confusing to me because out of one ear, and Zarcy joins the conversation as well, I have people telling me Trevor Lawrence is a generational prospect. He's Elway. He's Luck. He's Peyton Manning. And on the other side, I'm hearing people say he may not be the best quarterback prospect in this class. Matt, fill in some blanks for me.
Yeah, guys, the more that we get into this draft process, the more you talk to evaluators around the NFL, they'll tell you that, hey, let's pump the brakes on this Trevor Lawrence kid a little bit, because while he has been anointed for the past 3 years as the future and savior of football, Zach Wilson, a lot like Joe Burrow last year, really had that ascension in his final year. Things clicked for him. You saw the numbers, the 33 touchdowns while cutting down on his turnovers. And the thing you hear from people around the NFL is this name, Patrick Mahomes, a player who can work off platform, who can drift from the offensive line, that has the arm strength to make up some of those things. And when I started evaluating quarterbacks, a player like this, we would have said that never works in the NFL because the technique is not there. The mechanics aren't there. Forget mechanics when you're a playmaker, when you have arm strength. And for Zach Wilson, people look at Kyler Murray. They look at Patrick Mahomes. They look at Aaron Rodgers and say, this is where the NFL's going. It's no longer the 6'6" drop back quarterback. And what Wilson did without a great supporting cast around him at BYU has definitely caught a lot of people's attention.
So, Matt, I'm sure a lot of people watching that video who did not see any BYU football this year, the first thought they may have is he looks small. And obviously, Kyler Murray was the first pick in the draft, and he's much smaller. Is that no longer – how big is he, and is that no longer a concern in the evaluation?
Yeah, we're waiting on an official measurement, but he's going to be under 6'3". He's going to be 210 pounds most likely, so bigger than Kyler Murray. But let's remember, Patrick Mahomes is not the biggest guy either. You know, he's 6'2", 220, 225. So I do think that we're starting to see a change there where, you know, back when Ryan was playing, all these quarterbacks were 6'4", 6'5". Now it's more about what you can do as a scorer less than what you are able to do standing in the pocket, being able to survey the field.
RC, I feel like it's been a while you and I have been talking about this, and you've been saying this kind of thing about Trevor Lawrence to me for well over a year.
Well, you know what? This is what happens, though. Matt Miller, he's an up-and-coming star. He starts on the show today. He comes on. He says these things about Trevor Lawrence. Oh, let's put him on. We all love Matt. Ryan Clark has been saying it for 2 years, and nobody cares. Maybe that's not true because I just got an extension, but I'm just in my feelings. Listen, I've been saying right. These same things to you guys for a very long time, and it's not that I don't think Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback. I just don't think he's a savior. I don't necessarily think he's a can't-miss, all-pro, Hall of Fame-level quarterback.
And some of those things that Matt is saying about Zach Wilson, they're intriguing, right? This is where the game is moving. Somebody being able to throw off platform. Also watching a guy play, not necessarily with the best skill players around him, and seeing him elevate those guys. And I don't, and maybe it's this purple jacket that I wear and the reasons that I wear it. I cannot get out of my mind of Trevor Lawrence walking into the stadium and facing Joe Burrow and being totally outplayed. And then I can't get out of my mind the next year doing the same thing against Justin Fields. When you are a generational talent, when you are a can't-miss prospect, when you're playing with people that are like you, it shows. We watched Deshaun Watson play the Alabama Crimson Tide two times. He lost one time and he won the other time. And both times we saw him, we said to ourselves, he was the best player on the field and it wasn't close. Trevor Lawrence is not that. But when you watch Zach Wilson and you think about Mahomes, you think about Josh Allen, you think about Aaron Rodgers, some of the arm talent, the things that they have done and how they translate, Zach Wilson has some of that. I just don't see teams passing on that just because of a few critiques that you can nitpick about Zach Wilson, his competition, or maybe his size.
I'm with you, but they're going to. I mean, the number one pick in this draft is going to be Lawrence. I don't think any of us are suggesting otherwise. And so, Matt, I mean, I just was looking at some notes before we came on the air today. McShay just released his latest McBoard of his top 32 players in the draft. He has Trevor Lawrence number one. He still ranks him as the number one player in this draft. So, Matt, let's make it clear. We're not suggesting, unless you are, that that is no longer the case. Most teams still think he's the best player, right?
Yeah, the consensus is still Trevor Lawrence. And it's hard, though, for people to buck this trend of there's a lot of groupthink. There was groupthink when Mitchell Trubisky was the first quarterback drafted. Everyone in the NFL told you, that's the guy. Everyone thought that, except for Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think it's okay to break away from the groupthink, like Ryan's been saying for 2 years, and say, well, okay, why is Trevor Lawrence the greatest quarterback since Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning? But you're right, Greeny. He will be the first pick. I'm sorry your New York Jets will not be getting Trevor Lawrence, but I think what we're saying is the guy that you're likely to get, Zach Wilson, is a pretty good consolation prize. Maybe not even a consolation prize. He might be the guy you actually want, given what that roster has. Like Ryan said, someone who elevates the talent around him. I've seen Zach Wilson play with guys who might not be NFL players. I've also watched Trevor Lawrence throw to first-rounders at wide receiver with first-rounders at running back. So I do like those guys. You've had a little bit of adversity in your life. You got a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. That's Zach Wilson. It might rub some people the wrong way, but there's definitely that fire to his game where he's going to throw that headband on and he will do whatever it takes to make plays. He's going to bust out of the framework of your offense. He's going to throw 50-50 balls that have you holding your breath, but it's exciting.
Let me ask you one more thing. And again, we look forward to doing this regularly with you here, Matt. Give me a number in the first round by which all five of those quarterbacks are going to go. There are five high first round picks. What is the number in the draft that the fifth one will go off the board?
15. The New England Patriots in there at 15 with Mac Jones from Alabama. We know Belichick loves to call Nick Saban and ask about players, and he's going to get a great recommendation on Mac Jones. So if they don't get Jimmy Garoppolo or Marcus Mariota, Mac Jones is staring them right in the face.
All right, Matt, welcome to the team. Again, feel free to take all of Ryan Clark's takes and just bring them here, and we will treat them like they are gold.
I'm trying to get that shirt, not the takes.
Thank you for joining us.
I got you,
and again, welcome to the team. Much more as we go. Let me run the floor. NBA last night, we showed you already what happened with the Lakers and the Nets. Now there's this. Norman Powell scored 29 points. Pascal Siakam had 27. Toronto beat Milwaukee 110-96, handing the Bucks their fifth consecutive loss. Giannis had 23, fouled out with a minute and change remaining in this game. Next up, Sacramento. Heat and the Kings in a battle last night. Heat would eventually win 118-110. Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo both had triple-doubles. It was Butler's third straight triple-double for Miami. And finally, LeBron James and Kevin Durant were named the captains for next month's NBA All-Star Game, which the league announces will take place. It'll be played March 7th in Atlanta. LeBron and KD leading the list of 10 players who've been selected by fans, current NBA players, and a media panel to start in this game. You see them there. LeBron making his 17th All-Star start. He and KD will be team captains. They'll draft the rosters from the pool of players who ultimately will be there. And if you're looking for hoops, we're the place tonight. Our NBA Friday doubleheaders got Zach LaVine and the Bulls in Philly to take on Joel Embiid and the Sixers, followed by the Jazz, the biggest story in sports. They'll square off against Kawhi in the third place Clippers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown 7 Eastern tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up, Carson Wentz is headed to Indy. Does this make the Colts the team to beat in the AFC? That's the question. We've got the answer next. Get Up on ESPN.